The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
The Pharisees went and plotted to entrap Jesus in what he said. So they sent their disciples to him, along with the Herodians, saying, "Teacher, we know that you are sincere and teach the way of God in accordance with truth, and show deference to no one, for you do not regard people with partiality. Tell us then what you think. Is it lawful to pay taxes to the emperor or not?" But Jesus, aware of their malice, said, "Why are you putting me to the test, you hypocrites? Show me the coin used for the tax." And they brought him a denarius. Then he said to them, "Whose head is this and whose title?" They answered, "The emperor's." Then he said to them, "Give therefore to the emperor the things that are the emperor's, and to God the things that are God's." When they heard this, they were amazed, and they left him and went away. The Gospel of the Lord. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Good morning. It's good to see you all here today. Last Christmas, after finishing up with Christmas Day services, I flew to Washington, D.C., where my sister and her family lives. When I walked in the door, my then 3-year-old niece, Anna, ran up to me and took me by the hand and immediately started giving me a tour of her house, which of course I had seen many times before. But she walked around showing me all of her favorite things. "Here's my Christmas tree, and here's my room, here's my bed, here's my backyard." I loved it. There's something so cute and so hilarious about a little pint-sized 3-year-old who feels like she is the queen of her domain. Of course, children's pride in their possessions also has a not-so-cute side. Anna and her little sister Caroline fight tooth and nail, literally, over Legos and baby dolls and My Little Ponies. And I would guess that the most common word used by children aged 2 to 4 is mine. That's all Joanne saying it. My 2-year-old godson, Wendell, would go around the house pointing out different things and making sure we all knew that they were his. My dinosaur, my shoes, my bed. The quickest way to get a rise out of him is to do something like, say, "This is my dinosaur, right?" And I'll say, "No, mine," and snatch it out of your hands. The irony, of course, is that little kids don't actually own anything. Little Wendell has never worked a day in his life, and I'm sure his credit score is abysmal. And though Anna showed me proudly around her house, I did not have the heart to tell her her name is not actually on the title. All that these children have, their rooms, their beds, their food, their toys, were provided for them by their parents. We provide for kids and give them good gifts because we love them and care for them. And they take great pride in what is theirs. But the little kingdoms over which they rule actually depend entirely upon the grace and provision of others. In our gospel lesson today, the Pharisees come to Jesus and ask him an intentionally tricky question. Is it lawful to pay taxes to the emperor or not? They're trying to catch Jesus between a rock and a hard place. If Jesus says, "No, it is not lawful to pay taxes to the emperor," then he could be accused of fomenting rebellion against the Roman Empire,
and that could get him into really big trouble with the most powerful military force of the day. But if he says, yes, it is lawful to pay taxes to the emperor, then his fellow Jewish religious leaders could accuse him of idolatry, because participating in the Roman imperial system meant recognizing that the emperor was divine, which violated the Jewish belief that there is one true God. So basically, either answer will get Jesus into hot water, either with the Jewish people or with the Roman government. Jesus, of course, as usual, refuses to play petty games and instead strikes right to the heart of the matter. He answers, "Give to the emperor what is the emperor's, and give to God what is God's." This answer is mysterious and provocative in classic Jesus style. Give to God what is God's. His answer leaves not just the Pharisees, but also us today, 2,000 years later, asking ourselves, what then is God's? The answer is deceptively simple. Everything. Everything is God's. Scripture makes this fact abundantly clear. Psalm 24 puts it most directly. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. That really doesn't leave a lot of wiggle room. The whole world, everything in it, everyone in it, belongs to God. This sounds really nice, the idea that everything belongs to God. But if we take it seriously, it really challenges the way we live our lives. Because if everything is God's, then that means that nothing is truly mine. And I'm not too sure how I feel about that, because I, like my 2-year-old godson Wendell, love the word mine. My house, my car, my clothes, my job, all that is mine. I just bought my first house, and I like having my own property. I'm proud of what I've earned and what I've worked for and what I own. But when we realize that everything in this world belongs to God, the whole concept of ownership gets thrown out the window. Then we begin to understand that everything we have is a gift, freely given to us by a gracious and loving God. Then we begin to understand why Jesus said that anyone who wants to enter the kingdom of heaven must become like a little child. Because we, like children living in their parents' house, are utterly dependent upon God to provide what we need, and all that we have is God's. Once we understand this, our relationship towards the things that we own is radically changed. When we trade our sense of ownership for a sense of giftedness, we feel grateful rather than entitled, and we respond with generosity rather than possessiveness. That generosity flows from our understanding that because God has given freely to us, we are free to pass that on to others. Sometimes in the Eucharistic liturgy, usually in Rite 1, when we bring the offering plates up to the altar, we say, "All things come of thee, O Lord, and of thine own have we given thee." And that's exactly it. When we give to others, we give back to God what God has already given us. Grounding our lives in giftedness rather than ownership is a pretty big shift to make, especially because it runs counter to our consumerist culture. One way we can help our hearts and minds to make this shift is by practicing gratitude. Gratitude transforms our hearts and minds and helps us to become cheerful givers. Sometimes gratitude comes easily in those moments when we just feel overwhelmed by all the good things that we have been blessed with. But much of the time, gratitude is an intentional practice, just like exercising or brushing your teeth, something you have to take time to do. Maybe you take a few minutes in the morning or before bed to write down a few things you're grateful for. Or maybe you pause in the middle of a busy day to take some deep breaths and just be grateful that you're alive. When we are grounded in gratitude, we let go of our childish obsession with what is mine, and we focus more on what is ours. Instead of hoarding our gifts for ourselves, we look for ways to share them with others. We are free to give God what is God's, everything, because we can trust that, like a loving parent, God will always provide for us more than we need. Amen.